Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm here with our co-host, Coach Nick. Nick, how are we doing today?
Really well, Coach Steve. How are you?
I'm well, and I'm really excited, Nick. It's the end of this current challenge. The August challenge has come to an end. And you know, it's been amazing over the last weekend seeing everyone posting their final transformations onto our Facebook support group, onto their journals, and also onto Instagram. So it's great that everyone is enjoying the results that they've achieved over the past 6 weeks, and you know, spending some time to celebrate, you know, the hard work that they've put in. So congratulations to everybody who has completed the August challenge, and then also a big congratulations to everybody who put in effort towards the August challenge. And you know, I know that life sometimes throws curveballs. You know, we've got our good friend COVID still lingering around across the country, and you know, many of us have work commitments, family commitments, and other things happening in our lives. And sometimes, you know, we join the challenge, we get a couple of weeks in, something happens, and maybe it's not the right time, and that's okay. I want to congratulate you for putting in energy towards improving yourself, and I hope that you come and join us for the November challenge, which kicks off in just a few weeks, and you can give it another crack so you can get ready for that summertime where you know, I think most of the country will be defrosting and you know, getting out finally and enjoying life. So yeah, big congratulations to everyone. It's been an exciting past couple of weeks.
It's so great to see everyone's results from this challenge. I can't believe how amazing it's been over such a short amount of time to get such great results and such amazing teamwork in the community as well. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I think, you know, big shout out to everyone who's participated in our communities, let that be our Facebook group, let that be on the forum, posting in their journals, or even on Instagram. You know, I think that's really what the challenge is. It's all about that community of like-minded people who are working towards a common goal, where they're trying to improve their fitness, they're trying to improve their health, and most of us trying to improve our body composition. So, you know, shout out to everyone who's just part of our community as well. We know that we have many people who aren't currently doing the challenge. That's just, you know, part of the challenge alumni, you know, just part of our crew, and you know, they really make up the challenge ethos. So big congratulations to them as well. It's really awesome.
Yeah, it's been fantastic.
Now, Nick, over the last weekend, we also had our second challenge liftoff. And yes, this challenge liftoff, we celebrated the squats. So the first one, we did the deadlift. Now we did the squat. And, you know, a big shout out to everyone who participated in this challenge liftoff, where they were able to celebrate their strength through the squat. And they did that by posting a video of their best attempt at a squat onto our Facebook support group. So a big congratulations to everybody who participated in that event.
It was wonderful to see it. Lots of different squat styles, lots of women doing some heavy lifting, which I love. So congratulations, everyone. Really good. We'll keep that going. So what's next?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll have to see what's the next challenge we'll bring for the next challenge lift off.
Gosh, I wonder. I think some of the dudes will be very interested in this one, you know, because most guys like to bench press. So
yeah, we're going to have to do it on like a Monday. That's like International Bench Press Day, right?
That's right. So we'll make it on a Monday. Just one day, Monday.
One day, Monday.
Yeah.
Nick, I think you're similar to me, where on a Monday, I, out of spite, would not train my upper body. I will choose to train like a legs day just to be against like International Chest Day on Monday.
Absolutely. I didn't, way before I knew that it was International Chest Day on a Monday, I always did legs. I feel weird if I don't, because I feel like, because I've had a rest day on the Sunday, it's my best time to attack the big lifts and just get my legs going. And it also I like that for the start of the week for me. So yeah, I don't know about International Chest Day. Forget about it.
Forget about it.
What's your chest day?
Usually midweek, either like a Tuesday, Wednesday. But like, I don't really have a pure chest day. Yeah. My day is like a bench press day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then even then, like my bench press is spread out through the whole week. You know, working on frequency rather than dose. But anyway, but today's legs day for me. Or a bit of a squats day. It's gonna be a legs-cellent day, Nick.
Oh, it will be. It will be legs-cellent.
Legs-cellent and a really glute time.
Oh, gosh. I can't think of anything that's better than
that. Oh, look.
I'll do it throughout the podcast. I'll think of something and I'll come back to you with it.
As a new dad, I like to think that I'm quite humorous.
Oh, my gosh. Stop it. You know what? That joke's going to be around forever. And well, George and any other children that you have will go, Dad, stop talking about your work all the time. You're not cool.
Well, look, Nick, moving on today. We are just in our final completion phase of this challenge. So at the time of this podcast being launched will be the last day to upload your final photo. So if you'd like to be part of the competition process from this August challenge, you just need to upload your final photos as of midnight today onto the challenge website. So be careful you don't post it in the journals. We do have some people post in the journals and then they miss out on the completion because they didn't post it into their profile. So make sure you post it into your profile. Make sure you complete some of the questions at the very end, asking, you know, like, why did you start the challenge? What was your biggest challenge? Those types of questions. Then really take advantage of those final 10 photos that you can upload, where maybe you have some side photos, some back photos, maybe some photos of you training in the gym. Really make the most of those photos because it really does help our judging team who are looking at literally hundreds of photos. So you might be one to stand out slightly and help us make that judging process a little bit easier because, you know, sometimes those before and after photos are really difficult to compare, especially some women who go through the big glam process where they may get their hair, makeup, put some high heels on, and it's really difficult to compare those before and after photos without succumbing to the kind of illusion that might occur through those body augmentations. So really think about the final photo. You know, what are you wearing? What's the background like? Is it easy to compare before and after to really highlight the changes that you've made so our judges may not make an error in your judging process?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a bit like the Olympia that was just on recently, the Bikini Olympia. They want you to just look like you've just stepped off the beach, even though they train so hard for it. It's sort of like with our judges that they want the fresh look, not too overdone, and you can see the entire body. So yeah, just think about that sort of thing and don't go too OTT.
Too OTT, yeah. Did you watch much of the Olympia over the last weekend?
As much as I could. I watched snippets. I mean, I love that sort of stuff. So, and it was really great just to also see a normal production going on because, you know, being in Melbourne, you just think, wow, that means that eventually shows might come back and things because we've not been able to do that. But, yeah, did you?
Yeah, shout out to Big Rammy and C-Bum, Chris Bumstead.
He's great.
Yeah.
I
mean, not that they're going to listen to this podcast, but yeah, those guys are just...
Let's tag them. You never know. Maybe C-Bum will come on.
Maybe. There'll be,
he does big deadlifts, so he could be in our Challenge Lift Off deadlift competition again.
Yes. Well, look, Nick, also this week we'll be opening up our public voting. So as of Wednesday, so a day after this podcast is announced, we'll be opening up our public voting. So you had a vote from the 13th of October to the 17th of October, and you had to cast your vote for your favorite Max and Maxine transformation. So if you're a guy, you've done the Max Challenge, you could sign into the Maxine's Challenge website as of Wednesday the 13th, and you can vote for your favorite Maxine transformation. And if you're a girl, you've done the Maxine challenge, you can also log into the Max's challenge, vote for your favorite Max's transformation as well. And you can also get your friends and family to vote as well. So they just need to create a voting account. Pretty simple process, put in their email, confirm their email address so that we know that they're a human. And yeah, we had that challenge in the past. So that we know they're a human, and then they can vote for their favorite Max and Maxine transformation as well.
Yes, perfect.
And then finally, we have our awards night where we'll be announcing all of our winners and our finalists. So we'll be announcing our top 10 finalists, top three, the Community Choice Award. We've got the People's Choice Award. And we've also got the new Coaches Award as well, which we'll be announcing on the 22nd of October. And that's live streamed to our Facebook support group. Nick and I will be live. It's going to be an exciting night like always.
Oh, I can't wait. And Coaches Award. Ooh,
that's a new one, yes. So the prize for the Coaches Award will be a squat rack, which is donated to us by gymandfitness.com.au, which really cool. I actually went and purchased one myself. A little bit of a back order at the moment for me, but I'm excited to upgrade my little flimsy squat rack that I have at home into something a bit more of a power rack so I can be a little bit safer when I'm training by myself that I don't,
squash.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, like we this is not what the podcast is about, but I don't know if you're any good at dumping the barbell behind you if you get into trouble. Are you good at that?
Look, like when firstly, like I would say that I very precautious about what loads I use because it's safety first. So I'm only using a load that I'm confident that I'm able to complete that rep with. Very rarely am I pushing for like a PB that I'm a little bit skeptical that I'm going to be able to complete that load. So firstly, safety first. And then second, I have kind of dumped it a couple of times behind me, but by a couple of times, maybe twice in my lifting time. I'm more likely to fail on a bench press than I am on a squat. And I feel like with a squat, like I can grind out that last rep, but then a bench press, it's like, you know, I'm feeling good. And then it's a sudden stop, like on rep number 5. And I'm like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. So that's where I'm more likely to fail.
Yeah, because that's because your quads have limitless energy.
No, don't be like that. No, I just feel like with a squat, like, you know, you can kind of like screw the movement enough that you can kind of like, you know, good morning it if you need to, if your quads are really fatigued or something like that. So there's always like an escape route with something like a squat. But like a bench press, you know, you're pinned to that bench, you know.
Yeah. I'm lucky that my bench is not heavy enough for me to worry. I can pretty much hip thrust it off me if I have to. The rest of it's a bit of a worry, but yeah, bench, I'll never be too concerned.
Don't be like that.
Well, we'll give it a crack. Anyway, we digress.
Look, and Nick, now is a time where many people are asking us about the next challenge. So the next challenge, which kicks off on the 1st of November, we have prep weekends opening up on the Friday, which was the 27th. And you'll have the weekend to prepare. So you have the weekend to log into the challenge website, download the plans and programs, have a little play around with some of the templates and make the program work for you. And then, you know, go out and either, you know, do that meal prep or that shop, or maybe figure out some of the items that you have at home and then make it work within the template that you have. So, exciting times. And of course, some common questions that we are getting in about the next challenge, of course, is, you know, is it similar to the one that's just gone past, you know, this August challenge? Is it the same? And what I would say to that is it's, you know, same but different, right? It's similar format. We always slightly update the programs to help solve some common problems that we have. So for example, in the next nutrition template, we removed the input your date of birth because we found many people struggled to input their date of birth. So we just put in their age instead. So we changed it so you can just type in your age, making it a little bit easier on the very start page. And similarly, we inputted a new grams and milliliters label on the nutrition template, because again, some people really struggled to figure out what those numbers were on their plan. So we really tried to make it clear that, you know, if it's 100 grams of chicken as opposed to 100 chicken, and some people might be like, what is 100 chicken? I don't know. So we made it really clear with that information. So very minor updates through the template, and, you know, slowly adding a few new recipes. You may find a few introduced new exercises into the plan as well. Some very minor changes. And of course, we do go through and update the training plan, the nutrition plan, so that they're slightly different. So instead of like, you know, beef on a Monday, you might have chicken. Instead of bench press on a Thursday, you might be doing a dumbbell chest press. So we make those minor modifications so that it does feel like a new training program. However, you always have that flexibility to change the program to make it work for you. So if you don't like chicken, you can get rid of chicken. If you don't like dumbbell chest presses, you can do a push-up, or, you know, completely change it and get rid of chest exercises if you don't like training your chest, into something else as well. So same but different.
That's right. I will never get rid of the ability to change things around, you know, because that's very important. I think that you can make your own modifications. So I'm excited about the next one, though, because we always learn, don't we, and get better every time.
We do. And I think that's just part of the challenge. Like that, if you're doing the challenge and you're training and you're eating well, you're always looking for ways to improve. And it's the same from our end as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, Nick, I can announce that we are introducing a new program.
Yes.
Ooh, a new program.
I know. It's cool.
So adding another training program to the mix, into our quite a long list of different training programs you can follow, where we are going to introduce a program called Hybrid. So it's going to be our hybrid program. And as the name suggests, it's going to be a hybrid or a blend of a couple of training programs that we have. So this hybrid program is designed to be a blend of our weight loss programs, which is our Lean and Ripped and our Tone and Shape programs. And then that blended in with some of our muscle building programs, such as our Build Size and Strength and our Get Strong program. So it's going to be primarily a resistance-based, resistance training-based program with some cardio elements mixed in. So you'll be doing 4 days of resistance training and then 2 days of a cardio-based or a HIIT training program, which is built into the template as well. So it'll be 6 days of training. And it'll be really suitable for some of those out there that want a little bit of everything, where maybe their goal is to maybe hang around with maintenance, or maybe to improve their overall fitness, or maybe get ready for a sport. So this hybrid program may be suitable for you who wants a little bit of strength training, a little bit of cardio training, but you know, not as much cardio elements as like our Lean and Ripped and Tone and Shape program, and not full-on strength training only, such as our Build Size and Strength and our Get Strong program. So hybrid programs will be really fun, and hopefully you can give it a try.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very exciting, a great addition to the stable of programs. Can't wait to see people completing the hybrid program.
So the hybrid program will be available to every training program. So in once you log into the training section of your websites, once you log into the challenge, go into training. No matter what program you're doing, let that be Lean and Ripped or Get Strong or Tone and Shape, whatever it is, just scroll down the very bottom and you'll be able to find some of our specialty programs, and you'll be able to find hybrid there as well. So at the moment, when you sign up to the challenge, you've only really got two options. So for Max's will be Lean and Ripped or Size and Strength, and for Maxine's will be Tone and Shape and Get Strong. You'll just be able to select one of those two options, and then once you log into the training side of things, you'll be able to see some of our other specialty programs just towards the bottom there. Now remember, you can always change your program. So if you sign up to Lean and Ripped and you're not sure if that's right for you and you want to change to Build Size and Strength, you could do that easy once the challenge opens. You just need to complete your profile setup by uploading your first photo, and then you'll be able to change your program. You can change it as much as you want over the first couple of weeks. And you'll be able to see like all of our programs and all the minor differences between those programs there.
Yay.
Yay.
Bring it on.
Nick, let's move on to our non-scale victories for the week, our hashtag NSVs. Nick.
Hashtag NSVs.
NSVs. Did you find some this week?
I did. There's always some floating around. So I've got, starting off, I've got the good old Ian Lurster, who we love because he has great tips and things. So I don't actually even know if Ian made this a technical NSV. It's just that I've grabbed it because it's such great advice that I can't help but want to read it out. So Ian says, tip, there's nothing complicated about it, just consistency with training, nutrition, and a belief that every day is an opportunity to improve. Sure, the changes are moderate over a 6-week period, but this is a lifelong commitment and any improvement is still an achievement. So I'll continue to focus on improving my aesthetics, health and strength further over the next 12 months and live my best life. So then he said, love seeing the photos of the transformations filtering through and wishing everyone the best of luck and continued success. For those of you that have struggled to make the finish line, look at this as an opportunity to reflect on your journey, identify the positives and negatives, and then develop a strategy to improve in the next round. Oh, if it's not your thing, then go and find the thing that's going to give you the motivation to achieve your fitness goals. So Ian says it as it is, and I love that. Like, there's nothing else to say to that. Thank you, Ian.
That's awesome, Ian. That's a great tip and great advice, you know, really highlighting the power of reflection. If you didn't achieve the goals that you wanted to achieve, just think about the good and the bad and the ugly and everything in between, and you know, create a strategy to get to where you want to be. So that's awesome, Ian.
Correct. Yeah. I love it. And the thing is, yeah, he's experienced now, so you know, it's just good to hear from people that are going through the journey a little bit further down the line and can give some tips. So that's great. The next one we have is Joe McKenzie. So Joe McKenzie says, NSV for me tonight, made it halfway across the monkey bars. Last week, only moved one rung before falling. Pretty chuffed with myself. Hashtag strong lady. Go, Joe. That's so good. I love any strength, especially upper body women, you know, starting to connect with their upper body strength and realizing how powerful it feels to be able to pull yourself up in any way or hold on to things. That's great, especially if you're going to fall off a cliff at all or need to help people in the future. If you're being chased by a roadrunner, you know that you'll be able to get back up off that cliff. So go, Joe. And I remember I did have a coach once that used to say, picture that your family's hanging off that cliff and pull them up. And that was meant to be my motivation. So wow. The next one I know. The next one is Jackie Deakin, and Jackie with an amazing transformation that I've actually just recently seen on the Facebook. So shout out to that. You're amazing. Very good. So hers was a Technique Tuesday and a pretty cool NSV from last week. So she just wanted to show her mentor Sal that she wasn't all talk. And it was about doing a 35 kilo RDL dumbbell. So that's pretty good. Yeah, so 35 kilos dumbbell RDL. So as we know, that's quite heavy for a dumbbell RDL. And congratulations. So you did that really well. And you had to do it twice, apparently, Jackie, because you didn't film the first one properly. So there you go. Well done.
That's awesome. I like that a non-scale victory has become a feat of strength, whether that be going across the monkey bars or completing a really heavy RDL. So congratulations to both Joe and Jackie, who, yeah, showing how strong they are. And I think that's what it's all about, you know, building our body and building some strength and building the confidence that comes with strength as well. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of women this round have really flown the flag for that. And with strength comes everything else. You know, I think strength is the key.
It really is. I've got a couple. So first one here is Amy McAvney. And she actually just posted a photo, kind of a before and after with a pair of jeans. And she says that, I have to show you my non-scale victory. For those that followed along from last challenge, here's my update on those jeans. And I thought it was beautiful where she showed that, you know, maybe her scale weight hadn't changed that much. Maybe her measurements didn't change that much because, heck, there's so much error with measurements. You know, you put the tape around you crooked, or you know, you don't measure it right, it doesn't matter. But wearing something like clothes like jeans that aren't really that stretchy, you put them on and you find out they're baggy. I think that really highlights that our body shape has changed, and that's awesome. So congratulations to Amy.
Go, Amy. Good job.
Next one here is Stacey Fuller, and she writes that there's 3 days left in the challenge. This was just a few days ago, and I'm feeling excited for photos. I've gained from this challenge confidence, knowledge, and goals. Breakfast this morning was delicious. Now to get ready for a busy work on Friday. So I think that's awesome where, you know, she's excited, you know, ready to kind of highlight what she's completed over these last 6 weeks. And she's really gained the confidence, knowledge, and, you know, new goals, which is just beautiful to see. So congratulations to Stacey. Mm.
Good on you.
And then finally here, we have Josh Hashem. And this one was in the journals. And it was a little bit of a longer post and just a little snippet here. And he writes that, I had a lot of positive comments from people at work about looking leaner and fitter. Always good to hear. I've also noticed all of my uniform was much looser than last time I wore it a few days back. And that's beautiful, right? I mean, it's an amazing feeling when other people acknowledge your change. You may start noticing those small changes, but it might take a while for someone else to notice it. And, you know, it takes a very special person to kind of say something positive to you. So, I mean, that highlights that Josh has some really positive people around him. And I think it's always nice to hear those responses, and especially if you, again, similar to Amy, where you notice those clothes being looser. So congratulations to Josh, and congratulations to all of our non-scale victory participants this week.
Congratulations, everyone. Well done.
Nick, let's move on to our Coach's Corner, where we can offer our tips for the week. Would you like to start us off this week?
I would. So I'm going to give some tips for beginners. So let's just say tips for beginners to the challenge. So some frequently sort of asked questions and statements that might arise around about this time include, especially with the six-week challenge, questions about prep weekend and is it enough time? And what can I do? Well, I mean, I don't know if anyone asks this, but this is what I'm going to tell. What can I do to prepare before the prep weekend? So there are some things that you can actually do to get yourself ready before you even get your hands on the plans. So this is Nick's secret tips for beginners.
Nick's secret tips. I like it.
So, yeah, so if you're new to the challenge, welcome. And the other thing is we have hours and hours of these podcasts, don't we, Steve, that people can go through and really get some tips from us. But I suggest that you think of it like building a house. I suggest that you think of the foundation first. So think of your foundation as what's in your cupboard, how many steps are you doing, what's your hydration like, and what is your environment like where you can train? So those things are things that you can think of before you even open a document. So all of us, it doesn't matter if it's yourself, Steve, or myself, we can improve on all of these areas all the time. So even you purchasing your squat rack is something where you go, okay, I'm going to improve on my foundation of training because I'm going to get some better equipment that's going to allow me to then progress in a different way. So it doesn't matter if you're, I mean, I know this is for beginners, but it doesn't even matter if you're advanced. There's always something that you can do to nail your foundation. So I suggest, and a lot of people have actually helped out with these suggestions to the new people on the forum. If you work full time and you can't go shopping or things like that, there's one top tip that I have, which is you can always order online as well, because the supermarkets do click and collect, and they also do deliveries. So if you just think, I'm going to order some basic proteins, some nice fruits, some veggies, and some rice, things like that, you've pretty much got your nutrition plan nailed. Eventually, if you want to, you can do the recipes and things like that. But that foundation, it's all about that. And it's about sort of getting rid of those things that you might snack on mindlessly that maybe won't serve you. Plus also doing some steps, starting to get that walking in, because that is very important to us. That is your foundation. Then you can concentrate on the optimization, because I think people try to always go to that next level straight away, going, okay, I'm going to train 10 times a week and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But if you just concentrate on getting that base and don't panic too much, I think everything else will follow. And that's, anytime I get myself into a bit of trouble, I go, okay, where's my foundation? Don't forget to get up and walk. Don't forget to do this. Don't forget to have your water. And I bring myself back to that. And then I also audit my sleep. So I know I rave on about sleep a lot, and I'm sure now it's more important to you because you have baby George. So just audit that sleep, have a look at what you're doing, audit your sleep environment and think, am I watching too much TV? Am I watching Netflix? What am I doing? How do I cut that back? And how do I get back to being a beginner with intention to really step it up during the challenge? But you don't have to step it up straight away. That's how you start. And starting like that is a fantastic foundation. So think foundation and then optimization.
I like that. I think that's really great advice, Nick. Yeah. Mm. I do agree that you can start the challenge. Well, you can start the November challenge today, right? You can start those changes today. And I think many of us fall in that trap of, that Monday-itis where everything always starts on Monday or tomorrow or, the next week, the next month or the next year. And, the reality is that if we start thinking that way that, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, tomorrow never comes. Isn't that a song, right?
It's so true.
And if we do wait until November 1st to start, I mean, that might be too late. And I remember this saying that change happens in an instant, happens in an instant. And if you want to change, you could do that right now. If you want to lose weight, you can start losing weight right now. You can make those changes. And chances are, you know exactly what you need to do. You probably know that, hey, I shouldn't binge on that chocolate, or I shouldn't really sit here all day and watch Netflix, or I shouldn't stay up until 3 a.m. and I'm so tired the next day that I don't want to do anything, or I should be more physically active. Like, you know what you should be doing. It's just a matter of doing it. And I think there's no hard way around it. You got to embrace the suck of it and you got to go do it. And you could do it right now, That's good advice.
And definitely I think also people that say, I work full time and I can't do this and I can't do that. The minute that you start saying you can't, you're actually putting yourself in the same position as you were before you signed up. So what's that thing that changed in you to make you sign up, find that again and go, okay, I've done that. Now I'm going to get to the next little step, then the next. So you might just clean your pantry out one day, that kind of a thing.
Yeah. And look, I totally empathize with anyone who is struggling with time. And I totally get it. And it's, really easy for, Nick and I to say like, oh, you've just got to do it. You got to find time. And that's not fair. That's not fair for anybody. And it can be difficult to find that time. And I feel that now with modern technology, it can be easier to get things done. Let's say online shopping, it can be a lot quicker than you going to the supermarket, walking around the supermarket for 20 minutes to buy all your groceries and then come home. You could sit in the comfort of your house while the kids are asleep at, you know, 10 o'clock at night and you know, get your shopping done online, pay, click, and maybe it arrives the next day, you can be prepared that way. You can find really simple foods. You could just go to the chicken, broccoli, and rice train because we know that works. And yeah, okay, it might not be super exciting, but if you meal prep just on a Sunday afternoon, it might take you 2 hours, but that's all your meals for the entire week. Or heck, you can even order some really awesome like pre-made meals, which are really cool these days, and they could probably fit in nicely into your training template. It might cost you a little bit, but then there's all your meals done. Heck, you're saving time here by doing that. So there's always strategies to make it work for you. And it's difficult, I understand. And if you ever need help, please reach out to us. But there's always a way that we can get it done.
Yes, and we do understand. I'll just add one little thing. Someone said to me, oh, I didn't think that you would understand because you don't look like you're 42 with two kids, which is probably a compliment, but I am. So I do understand. But like, I've been there. So I completely understand that about time and timing and running businesses and working full time and everything. And I think you just have to make the time.
You do. Yeah. Look, Nick, I want to talk a little bit about a training tip that I follow myself when I am lifting. And that is this idea of to be fast, but don't rush it. So to be fast, mm-hmm. but don't rush it. And it's kind of in two phases. Be fast is one phase, and then don't rush it is another phase of it. Okay. So firstly, let's talk about this concept of being fast. And what does that mean? Well, in the gym, when we're training, when we're doing resistance training, what we're trying to do is apply velocity or force or energy towards an apparatus. Let that be a dumbbell, a barbell, a chin-up bar, maybe the floor. You're doing push-ups, you're applying force into the floor, or it could be like a sled on a leg press. We're trying to apply force onto something to apply tension onto the muscle. That's ultimately what we're trying to do. And the faster that we move that load, the more tension it requires, the more force that it requires. And that's really, high school level physics, right? So to make change, to increase velocity, we need to apply force to it. And the more force we applied, the faster the apparatus will move. And that also requires more tension in the muscle. Now, when it comes to both muscle building and strength gains, because they're, two slightly different camps. They're on the same oval, but they're slightly different camps. What we're trying to do is trying to elicit as much tension in our muscles as possible. And if we are going to the gym and kind of just going through the motions, I don't know, you grab the 2 kilo dumbbells and you're just kind of doing your bicep curls in the corner while you're, watching the news on the TV in the gym, right? We're not really applying much force or tension into our muscles. So what we want to do is think about creating speed. We're trying to be fast. We're trying to be fast through our lifts. And I've done this many times myself where as I kind of fatigue through my training session, I find that my sets become more challenging, even though it's the same weight, it's the same reps, but they become more challenging. And what that fatigue for me is kind of this mental fatigue where I'm kind of like, set one, great, happy day, set two, oh geez, and set three, I'm like, oh man, I've got to go and do X, Y, and Z after this. So what I try to reiterate to myself is, Steve, be fast. And as I kind of grab the dumbbell or the barbell, I'm doing a bench press, all right, I'm lowering the barbell down, and then I'm, really trying to be fast and explosive. I'm, trying to create an impulse through my training so that I can, get all my muscles to contract hard. Okay, so I'm trying to be fast, right? But then the second stage of this idea of be fast, but don't rush it, is this concept where sometimes we do rush it. We're kind of, trying to rush the whole process, either trying to rush the rep, rush the set, or rush our entire workout. And an example of this might be something like the deadlift. And if you've done quite a bit of deadlifting, you may have fallen into this little kind of trap, which is kind of the jerk deadlift, where you would kind of grab the bar and you would grip and rip, meaning you'd grab the bar, you grip it, and then you'd rip it off the floor and you kind of just jerk it off the floor. And for me, I tell myself, Steve, don't be a jerk. Because when you jerk it, you kind of lose a lot of tension and you kind of start creating force and you hit a little barrier as the slack comes off of the barbell and you kind of like screw up the entire deadlift because you were rushing it. And that's the same as any type of exercise. If you're rushing that exercise, so let's say a bench press, if you're rushing and you're lowering it down way too quickly, you kind of lose your position, you kind of lose the tension that you're trying to create. And because you've rushed it, you can no longer go fast, okay? So I want you today to think about that in your training, is this concept of being fast, but don't rush the movement. You know, take your time, but be fast, okay? So it's a little bit of an oxymoron about being fast, but take your time, but it does kind of play an important part in this idea of muscle activation, creating as much tension as you can in the muscle. And you may find that just thinking about being, being fast, being explosive, trying to create an impulse, trying to create velocity on the barbell, geez, you may find that those squats become really easy, even though you have been using the same weight for a really long time. You're trying to move quick. You may find that doing that set of a bench press really fatigues you now because you've really pushed it. You made that weight move really quickly and you get up and you're like, whoa, geez, my pecs are burning. My triceps are burning. Whoa, where did this come from? And that's something that we kind of mature into through our training, is being able to create speed.
Absolutely. I love that. And for any endurance athletes listening, I want you to listen to that again. I want you to rewind that section and have a listen again, because endurance athletes, where, you know, if you've got that background, you're used to doing everything very slowly. You don't want to waste your energy and you want to keep as much as you can in reserve. So you miss that explosiveness unless you engage with it in this way, and you miss a lot of gains. You leave some gains on the table.
You really do.
So endurance athletes, please listen to that.
You really do.
Replay.
Just thinking about the idea of being explosive, there's this little bit of a movement happening in the strength and conditioning world to try to avoid saying the word explosive. Okay.
Is that right?
It is. So it's a blend of the strength and conditioning coaches with physical therapists, because when we look at the word explosive, some individuals really think that something is literally exploding inside of them. And by doing, quote, explosive or power training, that means that, you know, something is going boom inside of them. And when they feel that kind of pain that comes on, that can cause a lot of, psychological stress, which elicits a lot of actual pain in the body. So we are trying our best to avoid saying the word explosive, because we hate to think that people are thinking that something is exploding inside of them. And we're trying to use the word like impulse instead. So even I'm having a hard time saying that. If you rewind what I was trying to say, like I kept saying explosive when I was meant to saying impulse. But a bit of a movement happening in strength and conditioning worlds where you might see the word, impulsive coming out a little bit more than explosive. But language plays an important part in all of this.
Okay, got it. Okay, good. I'm old school.
Yes, we all are. But it's just a way that we can improve all of us, thinking about movement where, hey, when we're doing a fast deadlift or a fast squat or a fast bench press or a fast clean, whatever it is, nothing's going boom inside of us. Nothing's breaking. We're not broken. We're pretty strong and resilient. And it's all about, building our body and, avoiding using those 2 kilo dumbbells and grab something like the 20s and really give our body some stimulus to grow. Yeah,
love it. Fantastic. Good job. Love it.
Nick, we've got a few questions here that we can answer this week. So the first one, maybe you can answer it here, which is how important is the recovery diet? Wouldn't I just put on weight if I increase my calories, undoing all of my hard work? What advice would you give this person?
Oh, I'd love to give this person some advice, just saying, firstly, don't be afraid of eating more. At some point, you are going to have to. Let me just put it that way. You cannot continue to eat less and less and less. And also, you cannot continue to live, even if you decide I want to maintain on less and less and less. That's not going to work for you. Eventually, everything's going to sort of almost backfire on you. So there's that. But also, if you've been strictly following the plan and in the deficit for around about 6 weeks, your body needs a bit of a break. 6 weeks is actually a great time to have a little bit of a break. Now, with this break, we're not saying, I'm going to just be a little bit rude and say, we're not saying eat like an asshole. That's the thing. We're not actually saying that. We're saying go back to your predicted maintenance calories, which technically means you're not going to put on any weight. You may not lose any, but you know what? You might, because your maintenance might be different to what we've calculated. We don't know what's going on with your body, but it's certainly not a huge jump to, excess calories that your body won't use. It's just taking you back up. It's allowing your hormones, your markers to reset. It's also allowing you to have a mental break, because sometimes you don't realize how in the zone you've gotten and how it can be quite fatiguing and stressful for your body to be in a deficit. So it's good to take you back. Nothing bad is going to happen to you. In fact, it's only going to feel better. So, you know, your body will appreciate going through those calories for it's only a couple of weeks as well. So nothing bad's going to happen. Also, I think for everybody, it's a really good chance to learn that, because it's very empowering. Once you learn that, oh, going back up again isn't what the problem is. It's all the other factors that you may have eliminated along the way, like sitting there, you know, eating huge excess calories, maybe not going on your walks, maybe not doing your training, maybe not consuming enough water, all the great practices that you've learned, you'll still be doing all of those. You're just going to have a couple of hundred extra calories, let's face it, and your body's actually going to love it. So I recommend.
Yeah, I think it's really good. And like the name suggests, it's a recovery diet. We're trying to recover, right?
Yeah, well, that's right. You can't continue to live in a deficit, even though, you know, the diet industry would like you to. But once you've reached a certain weight or goal, you need a little bit of reflection. You need to recover before you go back into it. It's like just going through a marathon and getting to that point, you know, the drink stop. You know, where you have a little bit of a mental recovery, it might be halfway through, and then you can go on and go even better, and your body will thank you for it. And once you've been through that, you do realize that there is, you know, a period of time where you can eat a little bit more and your body actually soaks it up and absolutely adores it. So just enjoy it, but don't be silly. It doesn't mean, if you look at your plan, it's quite still quite tailored. It's not anything too silly. It's not go and eat the entire chocolate aisle or anything like that. So I think it's really an internal thing. If you're worried about putting up the calories, I think it's more of a worry of what you might do with it. So stick to your plan and just have maybe a little bit of extra. So I saw that, I'll just do a shout out to Dell. I saw that she added a little bit of extra chicken for her, you know, for her thing. And so that's a great approach. You know, that's a great thing. You just make your meals a little bit bigger to your plan, and then you realize that it's not really that much of a big deal.
No, that's awesome. I like that. Mm-hmm. The next question here was submitted to us via our podcast question form. So if you have a question for us, you can always submit a question. We'll be able to answer it here. And this question comes from Jen. And Jen writes that when I take pre-workout, I've been finding I feel sick and completely drained after my workout. Is that normal, or should I be backing it off a bit? Okay. Good question, Jen. Good question. Let's break it down, because I think there are a little bit, quite a few moving parts where it'll be difficult to give you one solid bit of advice. We kind of need to talk about a few different things. So, firstly, we need to confirm that it's from the pre-workout. Now, you did say that, you know, I take pre-workout. I've been finding I feel sick after my workout. So I guess we just do need to confirm that, okay, does it happen only when you take pre-workout? Or does it kind of happen every now and then? So let's say you take pre-workout one day a week. Does it happen consistently every single time you take that pre-workout? Or does it happen on a day that you take pre-workout, but then also on another day that you don't take pre-workout? Because it's very easy to not see co-founding variables, where it might be something like the temperature of the room that you're training in, or maybe the you're doing a group fitness class and it's a certain instructor that really pushes you really hard. So we do need to confirm it's from the pre-workout. That's the first thing, okay? The next thing is that we should review the pre-workout. Now, Jen, assuming that you're having some Maxine products, Maxine doesn't actually have a pre-workout at the moment, so maybe you are taking the Max's Beta Pump, or maybe another brand of a pre-workout, and it might be worth actually reviewing that pre-workout, because some pre-workouts, I can't speak for many other companies, have a lot of funky ingredients in them, like other stimulants and such, and some of those stimulants can cause certain reactions to some individuals who may not have had many stimulants in the past. You know, that could be rashes, that could be some stomach cramps, and it could be, you know, this feeling of being a little bit sickness or malaise through the body. So it might be worth kind of reviewing that pre-workout there and some of the other stimulants that might be involved in it, okay? Next, it'll be worth considering your overall caffeine intake. So maybe, Jen, maybe you are training in the afternoon and you've had 2-3 cups of coffee, and then you're now having a
server the pre-workout, geez, there could be a lot of caffeine, which is causing, you know, this feeling of, you know, complete, you know, nervous system depletion, which makes you feel really tired after your training session, almost a little bit sick, right? So it may be worth reviewing your overall caffeine intake. And then similar, reviewing the dose that you're having with that pre-workout, where if you have not been having caffeine in the past, maybe you're, you know, just not a coffee drinker, and then you grab this pre-workout and have a double dose of that pre-workout, whew, that could be a lot of caffeine straight away for an individual. If you are a seasoned, you know, personal trainer where we basically live off caffeine, hey, you can have the cup of coffee and, you know, two scoops of a pre-workout and you may not feel a lot of it because, geez, we've really cooked our caffeine senses.
Yeah, we're fried.
We fry them. But, you know, our receptors are fine. You know, we can just go through a little bit of like a deload on caffeine and we can re-sensitize our receptors. That's cool. But, you know, for someone who may not have been taking caffeine for a long time, having a double dose or a triple dose of pre-workout, whoo, that's going to really hit you hard and really kind of affect multiple parts of your body. So we do need to review that one there. Okay. Next on our list is kind of food intake. So some pre-workouts can be highly potent, meaning that if you have it on an empty stomach, that can cause a lot of kind of gastric distress, which can lead to feelings of sickness or being really drained. So if you are waking up first thing in the morning and you hit that pre-workout and running off to the gym, if your stomach is really empty and you're having a really potent pre-workout with maybe you put the scuba pre-workout with a very small amount of water, it's a really concentrated pre-workout. Or if you are doing the whole scoop in the mouth, the dry scoop of pre-workout, I highly do not recommend you do that. But if you are that individual to do that, okay, that might be causing a lot of challenges for you as well. So you may benefit from consuming some food with that pre-workout just so it helps to digest in your stomach a little bit better, okay? Then finally, we do need to review your approach to training as well. Because remember when we're going in the gym, we're trying to train our body. We're not just trying to work it out. We're not trying to just expend energy. We're trying to train it. We're trying to stimulate our body. We're trying to stimulate muscle growth. We're trying to stimulate and create an improvement over time. So if you are going to the gym a little bit hyped up with pre-workout and you want to do all the things, you want to do 300 burpees, superset with, you know, walking lunges around the entire gym complex, plus a group fitness class, and then you're there, you might as well do RPM, and then you might try to hit some weights afterwards. Whew, you're really working yourself out. You're just expending energy, and no wonder you're feeling drained from your workout. You may benefit from training your body, maybe choosing three or four exercises, doing some really hard sets in those, and focus on getting stronger with that there. So, you know, a couple of things for you, Jen, just to look at and review. But finally, my advice would be that if symptoms persist, you may need to omit from taking that product or visiting a registered healthcare professional, most likely your doctor, to speak with them about this, because it could be an underlying something else happening. So please make sure you check that out as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Next question here, Nick, you can answer this one, which is in regards to deloads, should we be doing the same exercise as we're doing in our normal program, or should we be changing it up? So what advice would you give this person?
Okay, so firstly, I'd say the first thing that comes to mind is deload your brain as well. So don't stress too much about making up new exercises or anything like that within that particular week. I don't think that that's really a variable that you need to stress about. That's if you've been sticking to your program and you're pretty advanced, you can actually just reduce the volume or the actual load within your current program. If you're someone new, you could actually probably also benefit from taking a week off, going for a swim, going for a hike, something fresh. That also applies to someone like yourself, Steve, if you've had enough and you just want a week off. But I don't think you ever have enough, do you, of the gym?
No, never.
But, no, never. But yeah, so there's two ways to approach it. I mean, personally, I just stick to what I'm doing. I don't try and introduce new things within that week, but certainly something that's completely different, such as a hike or a swim, or as we head into summer, you know, some nice fresh air walks and things in the sun, you know, some yoga, things like that that you might not normally do, some stretching, that's absolutely fine to do as well. So it's really just to give your body a break for a week. But if you do a programmed one, if it's within the programs, just stick to your normal weights, because I just think for your mind, there's no point in concocting an entire new program. It's not really supposed to be about progression. It's supposed to be about giving your body a little bit of time to recover.
Yeah, no, I agree with that one. Like, let's say you've been doing legs day on a Monday, like Nick and I, and then all of a sudden you want to do bench day on a Monday as your deload. That's a new stimulus that you're applying to your body.
Correct.
Even if you are choosing to reduce the total amount of volume, like sets, and maybe less weight as well. But if you're kind of like throwing in all these other variables into the mix, that could be enough of a stimulus to apply stress on the body when that's actually doing the complete opposite of what we're trying to do in a deload, where we're trying to actually, you know, rest and recover, right? We're trying
to chill out
so that we can go through our next bout of training. But if you kind of change everything up and apply a new stress, a new stimulus on the body, that could cause the body to kind of not really recover like it should be doing through the deload. So then when you go through your next training program, instead of being at 100%, maybe you're at like 90%, right? And you're, even though you're putting in your best effort, you're giving 100%, but your 100% is now actually 90%. And you won't know that unless you actually gave yourself good time to rest and recover. Stick with what we're doing. Take the week off, chill, relax, and reap the benefits of taking that time off. Because when you go into that next training program, you're going to really smash it out because you have that energy to do it.
And I think just don't fear. Just trust that it does work. We don't love saying trust the process. But it's not really that. It's just trust us when we say take a week off.
Yeah.
Chill out.
Yeah. Been there, done that, where we go all out, where you do need to take that time to rest and recover.
You do, and you do progress. That's the whole thing. So that's the thing that even Ian was telling us that he felt that as well. So it does work. We haven't just made it up. It's a thing.
It's a thing, yeah. And finally here, another common question that we get quite a bit in the challenge, with many of us still in some sort of lockdown around the country, or individuals choosing to train at home, where the question comes up of what is the basic home gym equipment needed for the challenge, okay? And the first thing I'd say is that you could complete the challenge or any fitness program with just your body weight. Okay, you could do push-ups and squats and lunges and sit-ups, and people have been getting fit and healthy just with that for genuinely centuries. So there's nothing wrong with using just our body weight to get strong and to get fit as well. Okay, that might mean that you're doing a few more reps than normal. So let's say a push-up, you may be able to easily smash out 5 or 10 push-ups, and you might need to do 15 or 20 push-ups. That could be very similar to something like a bench press, where, you know, a push-up, we're using about 66% or two-thirds of our body weight. So if you weigh like 100 kilos like me, two-thirds, 65 kilos, that's me doing 10 push-ups is like me doing a set of 10 at 65 kilos on a bench press, okay? So if you can do 10 reps at 65 kilos really easily, great, you got 10 push-ups. You can do 20 push-ups, you might be able to do 20 reps at 65 kilos. So, there's always ways that we can make our body weight work for us, okay? That's the first thing I would say.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love equating it like that, because that really helps people who worry about not having weights.
That's right. That's right. And, we do see good muscle growth all the way up to about 30 repetitions, as long as we're getting close to technical failure, where we can't do any more reps on that target muscle. Let's say a push-up, you could be doing push-ups, but then, your elbows start to flare out and you're really working your shoulders, or, the limiting factor is that your abs are giving way because you've basically been holding a plank for like a minute. So as long as we kind of make it so that our chest is the limiting factor through that push-up, great, great result, happy days. We see it up to like about 30 reps. So if you could do 30 push-ups, good, controlled, fast, but not rushing it, push-ups are great. We could see some really great muscle growth. And heck, even there's powerlifters that can bench press, 150, 60, 70, 80 kilos, and they still use push-ups as an accessory movement. So, push-ups are great, right? There's nothing wrong with a push-up, there's nothing wrong with a lunge, nothing wrong with just a step up a step or something like that. Okay, so that's the first thing I would say. Now, the next thing I'd say is that if you are looking at some equipment, the big one that I'd say would be really helpful is just a set of adjustable dumbbells. Adjustable dumbbells, you could purchase them from anywhere from like a Rebel Sport, a Kmart. You could probably buy them pretty cheap from like, an eBay even. But you can get like a nice little set that's 20 kilos max, and it's adjustable, really old school, with a little screw on the very end. It's in a nice little container that you can even store nicely into your wardrobe or something. And you know, usually pretty cheap, less than $50. So basically the same price as the challenge. You can get a nice little set of dumbbells, and you could do everything from you know, chest presses on the floor, lying on your back. You could do some weighted goblet squats. You could do some RDLs. You could do bicep curls, tricep extensions. You could do, I mean, almost anything with a set of dumbbells, because they're basically just weights on your hand.
Absolutely, so
adjustable dumbbells, really handy.
Very good. I agree.
Now, if you wanted to add on to your repertoire, something like a set of resistance bands can be really helpful. Even just a one resistance band of a light load can be really helpful. You can add that to the dumbbell. So you can do like a resistance band dumbbell bicep curl. So if you want a new challenge, whew, that's a tough one, because you're doing a bicep curl, but then as you're going further through the bicep curl, the resistance band is getting tighter and tighter. So it gets really hard at the very top. Plus you've got the load of the dumbbell as well. So if you want a really challenging way to load up your biceps, resistance band dumbbell curl is a really tough one. But you know, resistance bands could be exactly the same as like a cable. So you can do everything from, you know, rows, lat pull downs, you know, cable bicep curls, cable tricep extensions, wood chops, all the things with a resistance band. So they can be really helpful. And geez, you could just Google resistance band exercises and you'll find, you know, literally hundreds of them and different ways that you can hook them around to load up different muscle groups. So resistance bands can be really helpful. And, you know, they're the main two. If you want a cheap, small to store home gym, all you need is a set of adjustable dumbbells and one resistance band, and geez, you've got the whole set. You are done, you're ready to go, and you can get really fit. You can get the six pack, you can get the booty, you can get all the things just with those two apparatuses. Okay.
Yeah, you're laughing. And the thing is, yeah, we've got all the programs where you can select that you've just got those two things, and it will tailor the program to what you are after. So we've got you.
Now, look, moving on from those two things, if you do have a bit of a bigger budget and slightly more room, you can get a whole range of things if you really wanted to. You know, for me, something like a barbell with some weights plates, it just, you know, standard, like minimalist training. You know, you could do like the big lifts, you could do your squats, your deadlifts, your bench press, your overhead press, and you could do a lot with it with just a barbell. So that's always really helpful, an Olympic barbell with some Olympic plates. And then some sort of stand so that you can place that barbell on different heights. So you can place it a bit higher to do like an overhead press or a squat, or even a little bit lower. You can do a whole range of different things there. So something like a squat rack. For me, if you're following me on Instagram, you could see that I've got those independent squat racks where, you know, it cost me maybe, I think it was like $60 for them. And what I like about them is that I can like store them, basically stack each independent pole on top of each other. So really nice to compress that in my garage. But you know, like I said earlier, I'm upgrading that into a little power cage, so a little bit more sturdy. And you know, then that means I'll get a chin-up bar as well on the very top, so that's also a win as well for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, if I didn't have all the stuff that I've collected, I would choose, for me, I think we've had this conversation, but we'll say it again, me, it's barbell and some plates. That's my go-to.
Yep. Barbell plates, some sort of like squat rack. It doesn't need to be fancy, something like that. And then for me, a bench, just so I can do a bench press. But that's probably the only reason to use a bench is for a bench press. You probably don't need it for much else. You could just use the floor if you need to. So that's the only reason I would have a bench press. And then, you know, there's other fun things like, you know, you can get a kettlebell and you probably just do a kettlebell swing, unless you want to divulge into different kettlebell exercises. But, you know, a kettlebell is often something that someone would purchase, and they'll find that they could only really do a kettlebell swing or maybe like a goblet squat or something like that. And then other things like, you know, you've got like a skipping rope, which could be really great for a warm up or to build up some cardiovascular fitness. Even just as a metabolic conditioning at the end of a leg session, whew, good luck skipping. That's going to really burn you out.
Yeah.
Yep. What other bits and pieces do you have at home, Nick?
Oh, I've got, what else have I got? Well, I purchased one of those weird machines, but I've actually become very good friends with it, which is a leg extension and leg curl. And in the first lockdown, I was like, I don't like you. But then I figured out how to put a towel on it and a bit of a mat, so I now have the leg extension and leg curl. So I do that. I've also got a sissy squat machine, which I got, which is wonderful for the quads as well. So I've just got a few accessories. But look, basically I've got a chin-up bar. I've got the power rack. I've been able to do a lot of shoulder work over the last 2 years. My shoulders have blown up, and I've really only had what have I got? I've got 10-kilo dumbbells, fives that are sort of falling apart because they're filled with sand, they're random, and sixes. So I don't have a whole bunch of, and I made this dumbbell as well, which it's probably about 20 kilos, so I do like single arm rows and stuff in my classes as well. So I have to have a little bit more equipment to just teach some classes and things. So I've got bands as well. I use bands. We've always had a chin up rack bar thingy, and yeah, I've got the power rack as well. So good times.
Now, talking about the resistance band, you probably want to get one of those like really long like resistance bands, not the kind of like the little booty bands. There's not a lot you could do with the booty bands other than maybe like a clam.
You can do a clam or a crab walk, or you can band, say like if you're doing a glute bridge, you can band that and push against the band with the little band. But yeah, I find that I use my bigger bands way more. So I can do kickbacks with those. I don't have a pull down machine, so I just do tricep with the band and just a little metal bar that I've found. I find that works quite well. But for me, I love to use my dumbbells for a lot of those accessory movements as well. I would definitely recommend getting resistance bands. Your body doesn't know what sort of resistance you're applying to it. It doesn't go, wait a minute, this is not in a gym with a barbell. It doesn't know that. Only your mind knows that.
The only thing it knows is that with the resistance band, how the tension increases the further you go. So that's called a resistance curve. So that's what it does know. And I think for me, if I had infinite space and infinite money, I'd love to get like a pin-loaded cable machine. So one of those like ones with the arms that kind of move independently. I'd love for something like that. Yeah. So you could do everything from like, you know, like a chest fly, a bicep curl, tricep extension. You could do a lat pull down. You could do a whole bunch of things with that. And I would love to have something like that in my house, but I don't have enough space. So that's okay. That's all right.
you're doing well. You've got your good setup. You're progressing. You're good. Unless someone wants to send you some to try.
Send me a cable machine that might cost $1,200. Yeah, please. Thank you.
Please and thank you.
Please and thank you. Look, Nick, let's wrap it there for episode number 38 of the Challenge Weekly Show. If you enjoy this episode, you can check out 37 other episodes just like this. And, you know, let us know that you've been listening to this. You can ask us a question by submitting a question. You can find the link in our show notes. You can also share this podcast with a friend, maybe share it on your Instagram or Facebook or something similar. We love those that share it and tag it with us. And look, we'll catch you next time for episode number 39 as we make our way closer and closer to Nick's birthday. Hey.
No, we've been past 20.
21 a few times, right?
21 times 2.
21 times 2. Well, yeah, I'll catch you next week, guys.
Okay. See ya.